Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is episode number 32. I'm not sure if you can hear the noise in the background, but I am actually on the gorgeous island of St. Martin in the Caribbean, enjoying a little vacation and white sand beaches and crystal clear water and just a great time here at the Westin Resort. We talk about on this show protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. And one of the great things about the profit pillar of the Holistic Survival equation is that you can do things like this. I'll be traveling for almost an entire month talking to you from some different places in my travels. And make sure you get that financial house in order. Today we're going to talk about more fundamental survivalism, but we want to hedge our bets either way. We want to expect the best, be prepared for the worst. And that's why you should make sure that you are also listening to my Creating Wealth show. And you are joining us, hopefully, for the Masters Weekend. My real estate company, Platinum Properties Investor Network, does an event called the Masters Weekend a couple of times a year. And we have that coming up in mid-October. You can find out more at jasonhartman.com. This time we have a very special event planned where it's 3 days instead of two, and just wanted to mention that for you because that's one of the very important pillars of holistic survival: people, places, and profits. So now let's go and talk to the survival mom, and that is Lisa Bedford, and it's really interesting to hear a female perspective on survival, which you don't hear that often, and a mom's perspective on survival as well. So let's listen in. We'll be right back with that interview in less than 60 seconds.
Afraid you could lose your home? It's a real fear for millions of Americans. But there is hope with our do-it-yourself loan modification report. Loan modifications are sponsored by the federal government and can be anything from a reduction of the principal balance to a lowering of the interest rate or an extension of the length of your mortgage. Unfortunately, negotiating a loan modification isn't easy. You'll find step-by-step expert advice in the Do-It-Yourself Loan Modification Report from jasonhartman.com.
It's my pleasure to welcome the Survival Mom to the show. Now, isn't that a great name? Lisa Bedford is our guest today, and she's going to talk about survival from a mother's perspective, from a family perspective, and this is a new one, so it's really great to have her on the show. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
So let me ask you, as the Survival Mom, what is it that you're preparing for?
Well, I love this question because personally, our family takes a look at the most likely crises, the most likely emergencies, and prepares for whatever comes first at the top of the list. And this is the advice that I give other moms and dads who visit my site. For most American families right now, what will be at the top of the list for many of them is a financial crisis. And so that is what our family has started with. Here in Arizona, where we live, we're not so concerned about hurricanes. Earthquakes, not so much either. But a financial crisis, a loss of a job, long-term unemployment, an income, you know, reduction for whatever reason is right up there. And so that's where we have put our main focus. And in fact, I think financial survival has got to be perhaps maybe the most important facet of preparedness. Because if your finances aren't in order, it's really difficult then to begin a food storage program or to buy equipment or firearms and ammo. As much as I know a lot of people love to focus on those things, the financial side of that has to come first, and that's what we're doing.
Absolutely. So out of all of the potential crises that could hit, and a lot of those are geographically based, some people live in hurricane or tornado areas, others like me live in earthquake areas and wildfire areas, what is sort of your worst fear? Is it just economic collapse and civil unrest that comes with that, or is it along the lines of the natural disasters, if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one that is most likely, it would definitely be an Argentina-style economic collapse. And I don't see that as happening overnight. I have read some scenarios where people paint dismal pictures of happening within just a day or two. And I guess a serious banking crisis could, you know, precipitate that. But I see just a very slow and steady decay where maybe 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and I hope none of this ever happens, but we may suddenly take a look at our surroundings and say, I don't think we live in a first world country anymore.
When you say the Argentine collapse, I mean, Argentina has been through a couple of collapses, a few. Eva Perón and Juan Perón certainly didn't do much good for the country, but you're probably referring to the most recent one, and I think that was, 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago now?
Yes, it was. It started around the late 1990s. And within about 4 or 5 years, about 60% of the population was living at or below the poverty level. And an anecdote that was relayed to me by a friend who had a roommate who lived in Argentina. Her parents were actually professors, and her friend described to her the scenario and said, a month after this happened, her parents were actually digging through a dumpster looking for food.
Unbelievable.
And it hit all levels. And so the challenge that I put out in my classes and when I talk to people just, you know, in casual conversations is what can you do now to be proactive and to position yourself and your family so something like that, the effects of that are minimized.
Very good point. And just kind of some commentary on that. Maybe you want to have a little discussion about it, because I think people play these scenarios out on their head, in their head. And the non-believers say, this could never happen in America type thing. And then some people sort of almost play it out in too gloomy of a fashion. And they give all the comparisons. Well, look at what happened in the Weimar Republic. Look at what happened in Argentina several times. Look at what happened in Zimbabwe. Look at Greece, et cetera, et cetera. Look at California, Michigan, and then America in general. But I think the thing to remember is that Argentina, at the beginning of the last century, was a first world country.
It was in the
power position. I mean, many people thought it would easily overtake the United States as the country. And it didn't work out that way, obviously. But there are a lot of countries that had a lot of stuff going for them that things changed considerably. And I think people should take heed to that lesson from history. So that's on one side of it. But on the other side of it is that the U.S. is in a pretty different position than a lot of other countries. We've got the reserve currency. We've got the strongest military. And we owe almost everybody in the world a lot of money. And being the debtor, in a way, is beneficial because they need us. They need us to survive. That's sort of the China-U.S. paradox that's weird. We owe them all this money, but we're the ones that have the stuff. And so it's hard to think of that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I just would say that for the skeptics, and I will, before I even point that out, I would say that the future is called the future because it's impossible to really predict.
Good point.
And there I have read scenarios from variety of, you know, politicians and economists, even just all of the variety of bloggers online. And it's fascinating to me that one person who has terrific credentials can predict hyperinflation. And honest to goodness, you just browse through the internet a little bit more, and there's someone who, with just as impressive credentials, saying, you know, we're headed for a deflationary period, or, you know, a deflationary depression. And so what that tells me is that no one knows exactly how it will pan out.
You're absolutely right. It's called the future because it's a prediction. And
yes,
it does not hurt to be prepared. And just for my quick 2 cents on that, because I love the study of economics, I think we're going to have deflation on things we want and inflation on things we need. And what we're talking about today with the survival mom is the things we need, the basic things that are needed in everybody's life, those basic resources, food, water, etc., and energy. And I see some real inflation coming to those things, and we've already had quite a bit of real inflation. The necessities, I think we really need to focus on, don't we?
I think that's a good point. And when you do start stocking up on the things that you need, the advice I give is that prices will likely never be better than they are right at this moment, whatever this moment is, whether it's, you know, this month or whether it's 2 months from now. Prices will probably never be better or lower. And so a lot of people can take advantage of things just as simple and elementary as grocery store sales and coupons and just watching things on Craigslist. It really is amazing how quickly you can get stocked up on things that you need, thus avoiding those inflationary prices in the future. And eventually they will all affect us all, but I like to think of this as a form of insurance. And when people are skeptics, Jason, I just say, well, what kinds of insurance do you have? And they'll list, you know, we have an umbrella policy, or we have, you know, of course, car insurance, health insurance, renters, homeowners. And then I ask, how often have you used that? Well, already with, you know, what we have stocked up on, I daily dip into some of those extra groceries. It saves me a trip to the grocery store. And when our income fluctuates, as it has, my husband is in the construction industry, then we have been so grateful that we have had some things set aside. And where inflation is concerned with the things we need, this is the ideal time to think, okay, what do we need? Many of the survival moms that hang out on my blog, they talk about looking for clothes for their children. They look at back to school sales and they're saying, hey, I'm buying clothes for my kids, you know, 1 and 2 and 3 sizes bigger right now when I can find them, you know, at very, very low prices.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And you know they're going to grow. And that's a way to kind of arbitrage and really invest for the future, because if you own the stuff now at the lower price and everybody else that isn't smart enough to be prepared has to pay more later, you're really, in comparison, improving your standard of living. So the world does not need to come to an end. There doesn't need to be a big crisis, really. It's just good planning.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And right now we have products that are inexpensive and of a good quality. Years ago, I spent time in Eastern Europe and in the Soviet Union, and I was just, one of the big eye-openers to me was just the amazingly poor quality of just about everything I saw. There was very, very little for sale there. And what was on the shelves, other than the stores that were for tourists, were things that I would just cast a disdainful eye on and say, you know, that's not fashionable enough. That isn't, you know, well-made enough. And, you know, should we see a decrease in the quality of the products that we can afford, then by all means, you know, I stock up on Levi's for my son. Those are the only ones that last for him. He's 8 years old. So I really also like to think of it in terms of, you know, purchasing quality now, because the future is a little bit unpredictable as far as what will be available and the quality.
So as a mom in particular, what can you do to help your family survive? What is unique to moms? Not just general survivalism, but you're the survival mom.
Well, the reason I started my blog to begin with is because everything was geared toward men. And as a mom, I could only read so much about reloading equipment and arguments of, you know, comparing one hunting rifle to another, talk about zombies. And it was interesting enough to me because I have a morbid curiosity where this subject is concerned anyway. But I started to think, at the end of the day, if I am standing in the rubble of my home after a tornado, or if we are looking out in our home, you know, our street out in front of our house is just a river, my kids are going to look up at me and they're going to say, Mom, are we okay? Is everything okay, Mom? And for me, that was the key. And I think that should be the key to any parent, is can you look at your children and say, we're going to be okay. I've been setting aside some money. I have a little bit of, you know, food stashed away. Don't worry about that. Whatever the case might be, we're going to be okay. And as a mom, I didn't see a whole lot, I didn't see much at all that would answer that question. And so what we have done as a family is we have just incorporated this as a lifestyle. And it's nothing my kids fear. You know, I admit when we started stocking up on, you know, number 10 cans of food and things like that and buckets of wheat they'd never seen before. But we really used a story from the Bible about Joseph. And I've also used pieces of children's literature of, you know, children who lived in the pioneer days. The Little House on the Prairie books are excellent, and they provide a great picture of self-reliance and planning ahead and having enough left over to share and to be generous with. We have taken those steps as a family, but it was also important to us that our kids knew exactly what was going on and it was explained to them at that level so they feel okay and that I know things will be okay as a mom.
Right, right. So by preparing them and just sort of introducing these thoughts, this material into the lives of the children, they're not freaked out. I mean, it's just something that they normally do. And I want to mention, because we talked about it off tape, you're not Mormon. And
right.
what's interesting is that I think the Mormons really have it right, is that they're into preparedness and it's just self-reliance and it's responsible. It's the responsible thing to do, isn't it?
You know, what fascinates me is that what we're doing, our family and then thousands and thousands of other families who have, they look at the future and they see a future that's not as certain as it was when they were children. What we're doing is just kind of retro, because if you look at the history of humanity, it has only been in the last 60 to 70 years where at least we in the Western world haven't had to give a thought about basic survival necessities. And that really is a very small window of time. And now this is all I've never known, this life of prosperity, this life of success. And, you know, I start a business and it does well. And, you know, business is booming and it's just upward onto a bigger house this time, a bigger house 5 years from now. But really, when you look back just to a grandparents' generation or a great-grandparents' generation, this was how they thought. they thought about the future, and not in terms of just where are we going to vacation next year. It was, we better can all of those peaches because next year we might not have any. And it was just that mindset of, let's plan ahead just a little bit. And I'll bet a lot of your listeners do that financially.
Absolutely.
Because financial planning, that's exactly what's required. This whole realm of survival and preparedness just takes that concept and applies it to real goods, and also in areas such as skills and knowledge. And even as you mentioned earlier about people running scenarios through their head, I think that's actually helpful, because as I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, what if? You know, how could I prepare my family, you know, if we all of a sudden had, you know, some kind of water crisis in the desert that we live in? I think those helpful scenarios. What isn't helpful is when they just freeze you, you know, into fear, or you just turn it off completely because you just can't deal with, you know, even those thoughts.
Let me take a brief pause. We'll be back in just a minute.
Jason offers an Inner Circle coaching program. This includes 2 30-minute coaching sessions for only $247 a month. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
It's interesting when we look back at like our grandparents or even great-grandparents in that kind of Depression era mentality, where that was a real survival scenario during the Great Depression, and now this one looks very different 7 decades later, but I don't think this is anything to really scoff at. There are some very uncertain things in the future, but one of the things I find about the survival mindset is that it can get too negative. It can get to the point where we sort of become what we think about, as Earl Nightingale said, not sort of, we do, and things become kind of self-fulfilling, and we take our eye off the positive things in life, the goals we want to achieve, the prosperity we want to achieve, all of this good stuff, all the vacations we want to take, etc. It's important to maintain a balance, isn't it? I always like to say, I expect the best, but I prepare for the worst. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I do. When you think about balance, I like the comparison of a tightrope walker. Because as he or she begins venturing across that wire, at no point along that journey do they take their balance for granted, and they are continually checking their balance, whether to the left or the right or shifting their weight. They're constantly adjusting as they go. And so with the thought of survival and, you know, an uncertain future in mind, I think that we need to make that adjustment, and we need to kind of check ourselves. And okay, you know, I've been hanging out on those survival blogs and forums way too much. You know, I have been maybe perusing real estate with the idea of, you know, how safe is this home from rifle fire, you know, from 300
yeah,
yards away.
Right.
And I think you can really just tend to focus on that and then go through the rest of your day and go through the rest of weeks or months or whatever with that mentality. And I refuse to do that. In fact, one thing that even started me on this road as far as blogging and writing goes is that I had fallen into that trap. And my husband would come home and one day he forbade me from going to this one particular website and forum, because he'd come home to a wife that was completely wigged out. And I was checking that real estate. That's why I know it's there. And that's why I know what, you know, the features of these survival retreats are. And I really, now I try to just check my balance. And, you know, this, I think it was last week on my blog, I asked people, where is your happy place? When you start feeling overwhelmed by the future, you start feeling discouraged, you don't have enough money to stock up, or you read about people who are moving out to the country and that's not a possibility for you. You know, what do you focus on? And for me, it's my children. And we will just sit and we will just laugh. And that is my happy place. And I just think that just finding that balance, focusing on the things that make you happy, there's so many good things in life. But it's almost like you have to assign just one part of your brain to the preparedness mindset. And now when I go grocery shopping, you know, which I'm going to do later this week, if I see something on sale, instead of buying a couple cans, I'll probably buy 10 or 20, you know, whatever I can afford to put in my cart. That's just that little survival lobe, you know, that just kind of reaches out and says, okay, that's a good buy, let's go stock up. But I think that once people start taking proactive steps, that balance is easier. A lot of the people who dwell in fear are the ones who don't know what to do, or the ones who are in denial, and yet they refuse to be, you know, proactive in spite of maybe what they know. And I think that once you have some knowledge and once you start taking action, it actually relieves a lot of that stress and fear.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Stress comes from not doing what you know needs to be done. And when you just take care of it, the stress just melts away, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So have you faced any real big obstacles, Lisa, in becoming prepared, whether they be from friends and family saying this is crazy or you've gone crazy, that kind of thing, or just obstacles in doing it tactically?
I would say that those obstacles fall in a couple of categories. Any obstacles that have come from people, I just dismiss. I may, you know, listen to their opinion. I was challenged once with the idea that I'm taking everything out of God's hands. And if I start stocking up on things, you know, maybe God was going to dump, an enormous amount of food in my front yard, but now he's not. You know, it was just kind of almost like ranging on superstition. And I just, you know, my logical brain clicked in. I was just like, okay, you know, and I could list a whole bunch of reasons why that didn't make sense. So when I face anything like that, I listen to what's said. I may respond. I usually don't. I just want people to kind of catch the vision, so to speak, you know, on their own. I'm not going to try to argue or convince them. On a practical level, for myself and a lot of people who come to my blog and who email me, a big challenge is just what's happening in the economy. So a family, a mom, for example, might see the need to stock up on maybe 2 or 3 months' worth of extra food, but the money just is barely even there for food for this week. And as our income has gone up and down, you know, we've had some dramatic shifts over the last year and a half or so. We have just had to, you know, when I can, I stock up and I do what I can. But as I said earlier, there are other ways of being prepared. And so when times are tough, right now, for example, you know, we have a friend who's giving my kids writing lessons. And they're extremely proficient swimmers. My daughter can sew. Both kids can, they know how to shoot quite well with .22 caliber rifles. And so things like that that fall into the category of maybe mental preparedness, skills, and knowledge, very, very often those don't cost a whole lot. So that financial obstacle is a biggie. Another one that we have not run into is space. I'll have people say, okay, I live in an apartment. Where am I going to put all this food? And just at a practical level, you just have to take a look at what you own. You have to do a massive decluttering job. And so there are practical things you can do to make more space. But primarily, people that may be skeptics, unfortunately for me in my home, everybody's on board. And then just some of those practical considerations.
We'll be back in just a minute.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn more about investing in real estate in different markets, there's a show for that. If you want to learn 17 ways rich people think and act differently, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to get paid to borrow, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know why Amsterdam doesn't take dollars or why pools are for fools, there are even shows for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
One of the things I would say that any person who is into preparedness and survival needs to think about, and I totally agree with what you said about how you try to avoid getting into big debates with people about whether you should or shouldn't be prepared, I mean, on that part. But one of the reasons I started this show, and one of the reasons I'm sure you do what you do, is because we all live in a community, and we are dependent on others in our community, and it really is important to get the message out. I sure hope more people receive it, because the more prepared all of the people in our respective communities are, the less impact they will have on us and our families. I mean, the less negative impact they might have. If your neighbors are prepared, if they have food, if they have water, they're not going to be dependent on you for that. And so it is really important that the word get out, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I have purposely kept my blog apolitical. I have kept it just middle of the road. I don't get off into religious things or conspiracy theories. I may touch on my faith once in a rare while, but I really want it to be information that is just very acceptable to anybody that happens along. And as I say sometimes, that if my neighbors down the street who are, you know, atheist anarchists, and if they're stocking up and, you know, something really big hits, they're not going to be coming at us demanding, you know, we want what you have. So I really think that preparedness is for everybody. It's a message for anybody at every level. And it's so important that no one, and oh, I may be venturing off into that negativity here, but people who take for granted their stability right now are the ones that I worry about the most. I had someone just yesterday compare their current lot in life with a few others in their family, and they said, we really are the most stable ones. Things are just, and I looked at her, and I'm thinking, your husband works in the media. You work in a field that can be affected by taxes, you know, tax cuts immediately, and I feel that there's a danger of just becoming lulled. Okay, you know, we're, even if there's a 20% unemployment, there's still 80% of the people who are still employed. For some people, the only things that have changed in their life might be the value of their home and the value of their investments. And nothing else really has changed. And it's like things have changed, and even major corporations could shut down. They could downsize, and something you take for granted, you know, a salary and benefits may be, you know, eliminated or endangered.
Sure, absolutely. That luxury is the lull to apathy, and so is complacency. So that's a bad thing. So getting the word out is important. Do you think, Lisa, that the reality TV shows and the movies and the survival books give a realistic picture of what the future might be, or is this Hollywood again?
Well, again, the future is the future. So whether it's a future that is more like Star Trek, where there's just amazing things that people can do, or if it's more like the Book of Eli or The Road, you know, I certainly hope it isn't the latter. When I watch those shows, I try to learn lessons from them. And just recently I watched a Discovery series, and it was from last year, and it was about a group of people who were left in Alaska, and they had to make their way out, and they were given virtually nothing to survive with. And I'm watching them, and when you have kind of a mindset of survival and preparedness, you start picking out things that people are doing right and mistakes they're making and maybe equipment they should have taken and something they should have thought of. And whether it's the colony or whether it's, you know, Man versus Wild or any of these other survival-type shows, I think they can be educational when you look to, you know, just from stand back a little bit. Instead of taking everything as gospel, say, okay, you know, what would I do in that situation? What would be the smart thing to do? How could I not get in that situation in the first place?
At least it exposes one to alternative scenarios and lifestyles and so forth. So that's a good thing because they get to see it. And maybe the techniques used aren't the right ones or they're sort of fantasy-oriented, but they do give you an idea of what you might expect. And the question, what would I do in that situation, is a great one, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It's certainly a booming field right now. The whole field of, you know, survival, whether it's wilderness survival or it's urban survival, it really is booming. And that tells me that these production companies and these publishers would not be coming out with the material, the books, whatever, if there weren't customers out there. So there are probably far, far more closet survivalists than you and I could ever even imagine.
And I'm glad they're out there because they're not going to be coming to me for their needs if they've taken care of them. Speaking of that, what do you do? I mean, have you thought about that? Like, you know, what do you do if your family, your friends come to you for help in a survival situation? How do you handle that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've even heard people say that they would rather not prepare at all than to have to make the decision to turn someone away, you know, at their front door.
That is totally stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And just like the person who says, you can't prepare for everything, so why bother?
That's crazy.
I think you have to put first things first. And that's why it's important to get started now. And it's important to put things into place now, because the more time you have, I think we have a great window of time right now for those of us who have an income. We have a good window of time, as I mentioned earlier, to look for the bargains and to look for, you know, and to plan out what might I need, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now. And how about my non-edibles? How are we doing for things like contact lens solutions and, you know, little over-the-counter type medicines that we always use, and stocking up on some of those things? Mm-hmm. Because once you secure your family, then you feel that you can be generous to others. And I know people who have been in the survival mode for years who are doing amazing things. I mean, they have literally these white buckets packed that have a small blanket inside, that have maybe a few pounds of perhaps, you know, dehydrated food, and they will provide them, you know, a couple gallons of water. And they actually have thought ahead, what will I do when someone comes to my door, when I see someone coming up the road to my house? And they actually have even started to set things aside. That won't be possible if you look at your own family members and you open the refrigerator, if you still have electricity, and you say, I don't have enough for my own family. I have no choice but to turn someone away. So, the proactivity now, I think, would allow generosity in the future. And I think just that human kindness would really go a long way to humanize, you know, maybe some very, very difficult situations.
Absolutely. Well, Lisa, that's a great point. Give out your website, if you would, and let people know where they can learn more.
Sure. I write a blog. I update it several times a week, and the web address is www.thesurvivalmom.com.
Excellent. Closing thoughts?
My closing thought is just a recommendation to start looking at your current circumstances and ask yourself, what can I do today to allow me and my family to have a more comfortable life in the future, regardless of what might happen?
And that's a very good thought. Lisa Bedford, thank you for joining us. The website, again, is thesurvivalmom.com, and go there and learn more. She's got a great blog and some great information, classes and so forth on there, and we appreciate having you on the show.
I loved every minute of it, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.